We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Keyshawn. Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn Johnson.
I used to have to pick up Popeye's chicken for Keyshawn.
One of the NFL's most respected analysts.
Morning, Keyshawn. How you doing? It's been a little while, but it's great to hear your voice. Nobody knows what's going on more than you do.
And one of the game's most charismatic stars ever.
Shut your ass up! Play football! Man, you a fake-ass John Randall. Shut your ass up!
ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson joins Dale and Keith.
Good. I don't know if I like that intro. It makes it sound like I'm a jerk and out of control. Look, you didn't even need to say nothing. I read your brain. Yep, you're out of control and you are a jerk.
Now on WEEI.
We will make connections moments from now with Keyshawn Johnson. He'll be joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. By the way, you can hear Keyshawn every morning on ESPN Radio's morning show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, as well as on ESPN's NFL Live program, which airs weeknights from 4 to 5 p.m. Well, it got hijacked last week. I mean, Woj took the show over.
Yeah, every show was NBA Live or whatever they call it after that. Harden's looking pretty good, by the way, so far.
I'm with you. Nets. He might have had the fat suit on.
He had a fat suit. He was trying to give him the old okey-doke, and he took the fat suit off, and now he's averaging, I think, 33-9-13 in two games with the Nets, including a win over the Bucks. So, pretty good. Pretty good.
Nobody ever doubted his talent, his dedication, and you know how big of a divisive factor he can be, or certainly open for conjecture. But talent, no. We knew how good a basketball
player. But these NBA guys, I feel like maybe Kyrie being the exception because he is such an odd duck. These other guys, they're unhappy in a place, but then when they get what they want, they play. Like Anthony Davis was unhappy with the Pelicans, went to the Lakers, played. It was great. You know, I think Harden is happy to be playing with Durant, and I think they're going to be great. Now, what's the shelf life? I don't know, but I think they're just worried about this year, and maybe they can squeeze out next year. That's what they're doing it for, and they look like they're going to be a tough out. Now, I think when Kyrie returns, that's going to be sort of what everybody's waiting for, and how does that all work? Who's getting the shots? Who's bringing the ball up the court? Who has the ball in their hand most of the time? That'll be interesting, but right now, just Harden and Durant, that's a scary duo.
Couple of quick foot. Oh, Andy's microphone is not working.
Can't hear you.
How are you?
There we go.
What happened?
You weren't on. John did the best thing ever. He just shut your mic off.
John was muting
you.
He said, I don't want to hear this
Can't
guy.
Can't John do that with his own mic, though, please?
Yeah, that'd be for
especially
the best.
When he says inappropriate words.
John, you know I can put the hammer down on you doing ad reads at any point in time.
Oh, okay. You put the hammer down?
You want to be on my good side going forward.
Oh, look at him. The power gone through his head.
I will spill my coffee all over you.
I'm pretty sure that.
That I can assure would happen.
That was an HR violation right there.
Correct.
Yeah. He's a bully. Threat. Yeah.
He's a bully.
Let's get rid of him.
He spilled his coffee all over the board.
I saw the video.
I was on the keyboard.
Knocked us off the air for about 30 minutes.
The clumsiest guy I've ever met.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, I will say, having seen the video online yesterday, the placement of said giant tub of coffee was probably not very well placed.
He put it in between two keyboards.
Right. He had a real good chance of knocking it over there.
There's no reason to put anything there.
And you will notice, Nick, if we can go to our studio view here, we have now got the coffee placed over here in the corner instead of on
the thousands of dollars
invested in this board here. So
shouldn't even be in that room.
I agree. I thought there were rules against that.
By the way,
Shime
literally has a coffee directly next to the board right now.
Nice. He's also
never. Yeah, you want to know what I've never done?
Yep.
Spilled it.
Never
ever
spiked
in
one
my
on
life.
The board. So he's already doing
spike.
Better than you.
A couple of NFL notes as we still endeavor to make our connection with Keyshawn, who may or may not be asleep in the back seat of his
What's
limo.
Did he get paid last week?
That'd be my first question. I don't know.
All
right. First of all, Adam Schefter tweeted out a few moments ago, Michael Thomas, Saints wide receiver, likely to have surgeries on both the torn deltoid and other injured ligaments in his high ankle this offseason. He knew it was likely Drew Brees last year and didn't want to miss out trying to win a Super Bowl with him, which is admirable, but you wonder what percentage he was.
Yeah, and that does help explain him going 0 for.
Yes.
You know, as good as he is, even with Breeze's struggles and his lack of arm strength, Michael Thomas is a guy who had, what do you have, 150 catches a year ago? Like, you can't go into a divisional round game and get shut out. Like, that was pretty bad. So that explains things a little bit if he was that injured.
I mean, deltoid and high ankle. And,
yeah. Yeah, everything hurt. Everything hurt. He couldn't get open with his legs. He couldn't catch it with his arms. That was he was in, you know, Julian Edelman land from a year ago where you're out there, you're gutting it through, and that's admirable. But at some point, we're not getting anything out of it.
See, I've asked you guys this in the past. I've always wondered how this works out. What's the percentage where they say, okay, Michael's at 50%, whatever it is.
Right.
And 50% of Michael Thomas is better than 100% of the next guy. And I know I never know what that percentage is.
No,
well, I think it's all about your depth chart too. And so last year with the Patriots, if Julian Edelman wasn't gutting it out, who was Brady throwing to?
Right.
So I would say if Edelman could suit up and get out there, he was better than whatever your other options were.
And then you get into the decoy angle, whether it's Gronk in the Super Bowl against the Giants or even Michael Thomas. Like, he's their go-to guy. If he's out there,
they at least
have to respect him for a while till they figure out, you know, midway through the first quarter or whatever. Oh, yeah, he can't get open. We don't really have to respect him. And between him being hurt and the quarterback can't throw the ball more than 15 yards, you know, that makes our defensive job. But I do think there's value beyond just whatever they contribute in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
All right, the other topic that I'm curious to get your take on is the possibility of Josh McDaniels becoming the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He reportedly had a lengthy interview. And then all of a sudden today we hear, well, they've added another interview to the list. I mean,
they did like a sleepover with them. They interviewed him forever. And then the next thing you know, they're talking to the Colts offensive coordinator right now. Interesting. The job kind of stinks. And the Eagles were the last team to fire their coach. Everybody fired their coach early, either during the season or right after week 17. The Eagles took a little bit of time, and then Doug Peterson was out. Then there's been all kinds of stories. I don't know if you guys saw that story in the Inquirer about Carson Wentz. Super long article, but basically the point is he's not very coachable. The GM already thinks Wentz is like this unbelievable player. The GM has a giant fathead of Carson Wentz in his office, like this huge poster. And one of the reports in there are people in the Eagles organization, including the GM, treat Wentz as though he was the quarterback who won the Super Bowl. Like, they love him. But then you have all this at the end of the year. He gets benched. Wentz and Peterson didn't get along at all, and obviously they made their decision there, so they got rid of Peterson. So if you're a coach coming in there, you still have Wentz and Jalen Hurts on the roster. You have a GM and an organization that also, this is a side story that I love, they drafted Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson because they thought Justin Jefferson could only be a slot receiver. Turns out he's the greatest rookie receiver of all time, and you're left with Jalen Reagor. So I don't think that's a very good job. But if Josh is wondering, hey, I'm not getting a lot of interviews here, I really do want to be a head coach, maybe I can't be as picky as I once thought that I could, then maybe he'll take it. But I don't think it's a good spot.
I mean, the other part of this is reportedly, one of the reasons Doug Peterson's gone is that he didn't want Carson Wentz as the quarterback, and the owner did. Well, if you're Josh McDaniels, do you want to take a job in which the owner is picking your quarterback for you?
Well, I think Rich just hit on it. I made this comparison last night when I was on with Mutt that, no offense, but these are sort of like two, you know, 48-year-old divorcees who aren't quite as attractive as they once were, but they're on the open market and they're kind of looking for a little loving, and maybe that's
my
best option.
You're like, no, that ain't
no,
you
I
anymore.
See it now, but you know what? I got needs, you got needs. How about you want to go get a drink somewhere?
Right. It could be that.
Josh wants to coach. They need a coach. They need an offensive coach to figure out what
the
hell is going on.
It's not as toxic as Houston. You know, it's not as bad as the Houston job.
If anything, you have two quarterbacks, which means you have none. But I think we all agree they probably should be able to find a winnable starter in that mix. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's bring Keyshawn Johnson into this discussion right now as he joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Keyshawn, how you doing?
What's happening, man? Whatever number I tried to call back that the producer was calling me from was disconnected. So you might want to tell WEEI to pay their bills.
Another billing issue, yeah. Probably.
What are you, an accountant? Jeez, get off our back.
Place is falling apart. Thank you,
Keyshawn. I tried to call that number back, but I think it's one of those can call out but not call back in numbers.
We appreciate it. We were just discussing Josh McDaniels interviewing for the Philadelphia Eagles job. Is that an attractive head coaching position in the NFL right now?
don't know, man. It's 32 jobs, right? I mean, Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, a few other young toys, and Jalen Rigger, and you know, running back. You know, they got some salary cap issues. I don't know. It's only 32 jobs, though, right? At some point, you're going to have to take one of them. You can't keep just passing job opportunities up just because you think you're going to get the perfect one. And I'm sure at some point he wants to be a head coach again, or else he wouldn't keep interviewing and wasting people's time.
Now, Keyshawn, you really shouldn't, as a franchise, trade an elite quarterback who's in his mid-20s, you know, a top three, top five quarterback. But if Deshaun Watson wants badly out of Houston, they have to trade him, right? Do you think he ends up playing for somebody else?
Spit it out, man. Deshaun Watson wants
it's not. I dare you to say it, Keyshawn.
Same
say
letters.
Watson wants out. Say it.
Deshaun Watson wants out.
All right. Well played.
You're a professional. You're a professional. All right.
Think about it. What athlete, despite the position, in any sport, have you ever heard definitively say, I'm out, and don't get out? So once he says, I'm out. We haven't heard Deshaun say that, right? We've only hearing the puppets that run behind him and carry his bags, you know, his do boys. That's all you hear, his little crony agent, those type of people. You haven't heard him say it. We heard James Harden say, I've done enough for y'all. I ain't got no more for you, Houston. We heard Kawhi say, I don't want to play for you, Pop, period. We heard Keyshawn tell Gruden, I don't want to play for you. And so once you hear the athlete say he does not want to be there, Trent Williams, left tackle, Washington football team, now plays for San Francisco. Once they say I'm out, they move you. Deshaun hasn't gotten there yet publicly, verbally, but when he does, ain't no matter what you do, when a guy's mind is made up, it's made up, right? I mean, think about it. Think about all the sports that we've seen when guys have said, I'm out. I don't care. Le'Veon Bell, I'm not coming in. I don't care what you do with me. Eventually, he didn't come in. They eventually traded him. Many years ago, Joey Galloway, I'm not coming in. You might as well just trade me. Eventually, Seattle traded him for 2 ones to Seattle. So it happens. And when he gets there, let's just hope for Houston's sake he doesn't get there.
Can you even fathom the idea that if this really is sort of a back and forth between Deshaun Watson and Jack Easterby, that the team would, for whatever reason, Cal McNair would
Wait, hold on, man. I ain't going to let that roll right. How you going to call him Deshaun?
Yeah, Deshaun? You're making fun of me for saying Watson wants out.
What
you're calling
said?
Him Deshaun?
Maybe my coffee
Come
kicked
on,
in.
Good point, Keyshawn. This guy doesn't even know his name. How you gonna talk to him?
Is it Tupac or Tupac?
Tupac Shaker, one of the best.
go ahead with your point, though.
No, just how could this possibly come down to an owner picking between Jack Easterby, a former life coach, and one of the top 3 to 5 quarterbacks who's 25 years old in the National Football League?
I don't even know if it's about Jack Easterby as much as it is about Kyle McNair. Because Jack Easterby is just a guy, right? Kyle McNair ain't selling the team. So, in the end, he had conversations with both of them. He had conversations with Jack Easterby, and he had conversations with Kyle McNair. So, I think it's just more about Kyle McNair's communication, because Jack Easterby is a guy, man. He ain't whatever, right? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he's just a guy.
Yes.
You could send him packing and wouldn't miss a beat. But I think what you hope to happen is Nick Caserio can come in there and take a large 18-wheeler and run it over Jack Easterby and run it over Kyle McNair. No, seriously.
Right.
And say, they're the bad guys. I'm here to save the day. Good cop, bad cop. But Deshaun's smart enough to know that game. So that's probably not going to work, right? Oh, he don't listen to Jack Easterby. He's an accountant. Leave him alone. When this guy, he inherited the team from his dad. I'm telling you, it's me. I'm getting this thing done right. I want Eric Bieniemy. I want Jim Caldwell. Believe me, don't listen. He could try that, but the problem is you're dealing with a pretty smart, headsy guy at the quarterback position. Really, probably one of the top three or four smart quarterbacks in the National Football League. And I'm talking about smart, brilliant, not just football IQ, life IQ as a whole. He might be at the top of the heap, to be honest with you.
A guy who's at the top of the playoff statistical heap as far as quarterbacks are concerned is going to play in his, and it stuns me to be able to say this, 14th conference championship this weekend. Tom Brady will take on Aaron Rodgers, the Buccaneers taking on the Packers, and all of those things. Isn't this what fans wanted? Didn't they want to see Brady Rodgers anyway?
I think the NFL wants to see Brady Rodgers, and I think fans wouldn't have mind seeing any other quarterbacks in the NFC that made it to the playoffs, probably except Jared Goff and Mitch Trubisky. So when you look at it, you could have gone Breeze Rodgers, Breeze Brady, Brady Wilson, Wilson Brady, you know, any of those combinations, I think would have satisfied the NFL taste buds as well as the fans. It's mind-boggling because I was sitting there thinking earlier today as we were doing our show and I was talking to the guys and I said, man, 14 championships, money aside, but I got to talk about it. How much playoff earnings, just playoff earnings, and we didn't do the math because it was one of those thought processes doing the show. Tom Brady's playoff earnings, right? He's made more money in the playoffs than some dudes made in their whole careers. It's wild to think, you know, the playoff sharing. Dude that played in 14 championship games. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But that's why he's considered one of the GOATs with the Elways and the Montanas and the Aaron Rodgerses of the world. He goes right to a team that had a quarterback that threw 30 interceptions, and now he has a team in the NFC championship game, something that they didn't hesitate to pay him exactly what he wanted, and they wooed him to come to Tampa to get him in this position. Now, whether or not they go to Lambeau and they win and all those sort of things, it's just impressive to see that he has them in the NFC championship game. It's pretty impressive, man.
Did you just say he's one of the GOATs with Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is one of the GOATs, man.
No.
He's one of the greatest to ever do it.
What about Brady? Did you say Brady was one of the GOATs?
Yeah, Brady's one of the GOATs. He's right there with Montana and Elway and Brady and Rodgers.
Right there with. You don't think he's better than those guys?
I got four GOATs. I know y'all want him to be up there by himself because of the champ. I know you want him to be up there by himself because of the championships. I don't put any of them on a pedestal by themselves. There's only one player in NFL history that I put on a pedestal by itself.
Terrell
Owens. Maybe two. Maybe two.
T.O.
Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice and Lawrence Taylor. Because
so who's your quarterback?
The
who's your quarterback group?
Elway, Montana, Brady, and Rodgers.
Okay.
How could you argue with that? I know he won six. I get it. Yeah. And he's going to his 14th champion. I got it. I understand that.
Yeah.
But circumstances, certain things, situation, time, all of those sort of things factor into that. Because in the end, Aaron Rodgers wins the second championship. That argument is going to heighten. If
right.
I know we
There's
want
only to four more to go to tie
the championship. No, I understand we want to concentrate on the championships, but it's the throwing of the football. It's his ability. It's all of those sort of things that I look at. Now, you know, you say to yourself, if Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady were standing next to each other, who would you choose? Who would you rather catch balls from? All of those sort of silly comparisons that sports talk radio hosts and television personalities like to get into. That's why, for me, I enjoy all of those guys. One's not better than me. Have you seen some of the quarterbacks I play with?
Yes, I have.
I enjoy all of them. I mean, so you know, it's that's just the way I view it. And people might think I'm crazy because they want Tom Brady to be the greatest of all time, no matter what, how you see it, blah, blah, blah. Same argument in basketball. Is it Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Will Chamberlain, LeBron James? Who is it?
Jordan.
How about just
Michael Jordan?
I got a chance to see Kareem. I got a chance to see Kareem play. I got a chance to see Jordan play. And I got a chance to love and see LeBron play. Why can't I just enjoy all of them?
You can. Oh, Keyshawn, who's the best corner that you ever went up against?
They all were different. I would say one that was pretty good. I mean, I had my fair share of wins against him with Ty Law. He had his fair share of wins against me. I would say, God, what's his name? I can't even think. I threw a blank. Carter. Oh, God, what's his name? Played in Minnesota and Denver. Dale Carter. I'm sorry. Kansas City. Dale Carter was one. When he was right, he might have been the best. You know, I called Deion at the end, so it wasn't quite. I mean, his toe was already messed up, so I wasn't.
Right.
You know, I kind of caught him in Dallas at the end, and then again in Washington, and again in Baltimore. But there's a guy named James Hastings.
Yeah.
That played in Kansas City. That was really underrated, and just in terms of some stuff. But he was a problem for me because he was as big as me, as fast as me, as elusive as me, and he was really good. But though, you know, I would say those guys, and maybe I'm missing, maybe Patrick Surtain was good for a couple plays here and there. I mean, it was different because in my day and age, it was very hard for me to get matched up one-on-one. I didn't see a lot of single coverage. I just didn't. Where nowadays, everybody gets singled up. I didn't see it. They were rolling safeties over the top and linebackers underneath. It was just a different style of defense that they were running. If they wanted to take me out of a game, they certainly tried to. It was, you know, it wasn't going to be easy, but they certainly tried to limit me as much as they can. Why did you ask me that?
Rich.
Why did I ask you what? About the corners?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just fascinated because you went up against them, so I'm interested in your perspective on it. I remember, you know, when we have former players on, usually ask them, like, other side of the ball, either, you know, who gave them fits, who hit them the hardest, things like that. I'm always fascinated to know because I think as somebody who just watched, I would have guessed Ty Law, Rod Woodson, Champ Bailey, like the Darrell Revis, if you were there. I don't know if you guys were watching.
I didn't see Revis. The interesting thing about Champ Bailey, he was good, but he didn't give me fits. I mean, I caught balls on him. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even Ty is a Hall of Famer, but he didn't give me fits.
Right.
It wasn't one of them dudes where, I mean, I caught a ball in every game I ever played in. So it wasn't one of those situations where I didn't torch New England. Like, literally, I was a nightmare for New England. They went and drafted to Bucky Jones, if you remember. And I told them he's going to be playing safety in 2 years. That was a mistake. So, you know.
Yeah, we're right.
And so it was one of those deals where, you know, you look at guys that I look more for the guys that gave me a fit. I had my way with the corners in the AFC East at the time. Whether they were in Miami, whether they were in Indianapolis, whether it was Buffalo, whether it was Steve Israel in New England or Ty Law, whoever they put on me, I did my work against them. So it's kind of like I respect all of them, but it wasn't a shutdown situation where I walked away with two catches for 12 yards and was like, damn.
Right.
I mean, you know, it was the worst game I ever had in my career was against Buffalo my rookie year. Where I had one catch, I dropped 9 balls. I think it was 8 or 9. No, it was 9 targets. I dropped 8 of them, and I caught one that stuck to my helmet, and it was freezing cold the first time I ever touched the cold my rookie year. And so, other than that, I always shined in the AFC East when I played in it.
Mm-hmm. Keyshawn, it's fun to talk football.
You know me. Hey, look, man. I ain't scared to tell you the truth.
We love listening to the truth.
Yep,
that's
the idea.
Why I have you on. It's great.
Thanks,
but Brady's 1 of 4.
Yeah. All right. Well, most of the time you tell the truth. All right.
Yeah. Most of the time. Thanks, Keyshawn. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Go Dodgers.
Take care. Okay, great. That is Keyshawn Johnson, NFL Network analyst.
Best part of that, though, in every game I ever played.
Best part is he doesn't have Peyton Manning in his top four. So that I respect the hell out of.
So you like that?
I love that part.
But if Rodgers gets the title this year, he's nipping right at Brady's heels.
No, he's not.
He's a big fan of Mount Rushmore, so that's
four
all.
More. Well, listen, I understand that.
I ain't scared to tell you the truth.
Championships shouldn't be the only thing, but that's also not the only thing Brady has. He has got some unbelievable regular seasons. He's got the MVPs. He's got all the stuff. I just thought his resume was so far out there from everybody else, but he loves Montana, Elway, and Aaron Rodgers. So,
yeah, my favorite.
Well, so
part
now
of
y'all
was,
playing radio. Got it.
That's
if
it.
If I'm Steve Israel, like, wait, did he mention me in the same sentence with all these great corners? And, like,
yeah.
And then Patrick Sertan, he had a player too.
Which doesn't belong and why?
Right, Steve Israel.
Because a lot of times you get a player that you wouldn't expect. I remember asking Ty Law the similar thing. I'm obviously flipped. And I believe he said Jimmy Smith, who was a great receiver,
right?
But you usually think of, you know, a whole like Marvin Harrison and, you know, Jerry Rice and all these different guys, Moss. And he's like, no, Jimmy Smith was an absolute beast. He was fast. He was stronger. He's like, he was the only receiver stronger than him.
Right.
And so it's always like, so he mentioned James Hasty. Like, I remember James Hasty, but I wouldn't have thought that he would be at the top of Keyshawn's list as tough corner.
But
so
I think that's a matchup thing, like you're saying, like size, strength, and
different
that, you
kind
know,
of receiver,
specific matchups that give them fits, although you hear it from him.
Nobody gave him fits.
I'm just, you know, I killed everybody in the East, and maybe the Chiefs. He listed a couple Chiefs, Dale Carter. And
couple Chiefs, maybe. So maybe at that game against the Chiefs. I don't know. Yeah.
Steve Nelson once told me that the running back who scared him the most, that he hated playing against the most, was Earl Campbell. Now, he was a beast, but he wasn't, you know, the greatest running back of all time, but Steve Nelson said you couldn't tackle him. Like he said, his thighs were as big as my waist.
Yeah.
I couldn't get him on the ground.
Yeah.
And so that's a matchup thing. Well, that
I remember
too,
asking.
I would have feared him. I would definitely have. I'd much rather have Barry Sanders run around me than Earl Campbell run over me.
True. Although that was one story where that was an answer that you probably could have expected. I asked Steve DiAsi if there was a running back that ever made him look foolish, and he was like, yeah, Barry Sanders.
Makes sense. And there's no shame in that. I
mean, none. No, join the long list.
Now, did you get DiAsi's story about the bowl game he played against Bo and he tackled him like 17 times, he claims, or something?
He's friends with Bo.
No, I know. That's my dream, is to, like,
it's incredible,
somehow go with DiAsi and meet Bo. Bo is my
didn't he literally go, like, Bo hunting
his
with Bo
Jackson?
Jersey's
behind you there.
Yes.
His jersey's on the wall
right
behind
there.
You.
Yep,
incredible.
Bo right there.
Great
but
story.
Yes. I'd brag if I tackled Bo 17 times, too.
You think?
Have it tattooed on your arm.
Yep,
you could
live
no question.
To tell about it.
Neon sign attached to my neck above my head. I tackled Bo 17 times.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
No sleep till
Harden. Who's gone? Did Sean Marks trade everybody? Did he say, take the milk, take this, take that?
They did get something. They get James Harden.
Great.
Dribble, 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 dribble. Fat, fat, fat. Dribble, dribble, dribble. No defense, no defense, new defense. Shoot. Oh, a foul's called. He's going to the line.
I love these idiotic sports stats. Elias usually comes up with them. The one we're going to give you now happens to have come from ESPN. So Harden and Durant have combined for 138 points in their first two games together. Second most combined points for teammates in their first two games together with a franchise in NBA history. So you'll never get the first one because I don't even know the name of the second person. But the first pair is Wilt Chamberlain and York Larice.
Yeah, York probably scored like 8 points. It was like all Wilt.
He had zero in their first game together, 12 in their second. Wilt scored 139 of the 151 points they combined for.
Dale, isn't there a similar stat with the Gretzky brothers?
Oh, yeah, the Gretzky brothers. Yeah, it's like
one of the brothers had one assist.
The Aaron brothers, how many home runs
they
hit.
This weekend they said Tom Brady and Drew Brees
they did.
Have combined to be in 10 Super Bowls and win 7.
Me and Kobe combined for 65 in his last game.
He's like, what? Hilarious. So, Wilt Chamberlain and just some dude who was happy to get 12 points is in the record books now.
12 points in two games.
In two
combined.
Games.
Combined.
How is he the highest second scorer? Anyway.
Well, Wilt had the ball most of the time.
That's true.
He scored 139.
Out of 151.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, these two guys are going to be great together.
Yeah.
I mean, they were great together when they played together before, although now they're grown men. Now they're not boys, as they said. And then the question becomes, what happens when Kyrie comes back if he's serious?
He gets in the way. Like, I mean, they're already late. Durant made a comment already about, you know, it's great that James brings the ball up kind of thing. Well, what's Kyrie going to do?
How are we going to bring the ball up? I mean, Kyrie can obviously play off the ball too, but is that what he's used to?
Nope.
No. And is there going to be as many shots available? Because Kyrie Irving in the, what, seven games he's played in, he's averaged 20 shot attempts a game. In the two that James Harden has played, he's averaged like 21 a game. Kevin Durant right around that same number. Again, you can easily have three guys average 20 points. Durant, Curry, and Thompson proved that. Hell, Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown proved that. The NBA now, there's so many points. Every team scores well over 100. So you can have three guys score 20. You can't have three guys score 30. You can't have three guys score 27. Like, somebody is going to have to give up a little bit. And which one of them do you think is going to want to give up some of their scoring or just, you know, possession of the ball? I don't think any of them are really have the appetite for that.
And don't you feel like there could have already been a Harden Durant conversation? And it's like Kyrie comes back and it's like, hey, Kyrie, we want to talk to you about something. So see, this is what we had envisioned for you now that you're back. And Kyrie is like, what the?
Yeah. No. Like, listen, you remember how Chris Bosh would stand in the corner for LeBron and Wade? Now, he's still a part of their big three, but we kind of need you to stand over there and knock down those open threes. That
it starts with me.
Like, I really do. Like, he is. It's just hilarious how the whole thing is unfolded because he left the shadow of LeBron. And again, I liked that at the time. I thought, all right, here's a guy who's sick of being the second guy and gets blamed when they lose, but never gets any of the credit when they win because that's always LeBron. I go, great, he wants out. 2 years later, 3 years later, he is now on a team where he is the third best player.
I said
it's amazing.
He didn't want to be Robin. He wanted to be Batman. Now he's Alfred.
Yep.
Yeah, at best.
I mean,
he probably doesn't know
Alfred's
it.
Alfred's very important. Alfred's
wait, but
important.
Do you even think he knows it yet? Do you think he knows what he is?
No.
Like, in his world, we've talked a lot about...
He doesn't know the world is round.
Right. Kyrie lives in his own world.
Start there. Yeah.
You think he is and has people around him like, you know, because, you know, the Patriots over the years, it was always subjugate your ego. Or, you know, even the Celtics Big Three Part Two with, you know, at some point, somebody gives something, right? There's a compromise there. And Kyrie, as you just said, is probably the third best player. Probably the guy the other two would say, hey, you're ready to compromise, right? But is he the kind of guy that compromises? Is it ridiculous to say that they are better without him? Like, you just, it'd be better if he didn't come back. Whatever. Just went AWOL.
It seems counterintuitive because he's a great player.
Great player.
I mean, he's a terrific player. But yes, I think you could make an argument that he's going to gum up the works to your point.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones where you have to, at least if you're the Nets and you're Steve Nash, you got to see what happens because the ceiling is higher, but the floor is also lower because he could show up and kind of sabotage things. We saw it with the Celtics, and now all of a sudden nobody's really playing well. Or somehow, some way, the three of them click, and it's just impossible to guard. You know, if you're the Celtics, for example, is Marcus Smart guarding Irving or is he guarding Harden? Like, where do you put your best defender? Or, like, how do you even play defense against these guys? I think it'd be pretty impossible. But I just think it's more ego. It's more the, you know, being a bad teammate, all that stuff, rather than just the talent. The talent's through the roof. I mean,
the sum of the parts. Like, if you just do this on paper, okay, I'll pencil in Harden for 31, Durant for 30. We'll give Kyrie 28. Woo! We're well on our way to victory if we total those points, but that's not really how it works on the basketball court.
Yeah, it seems tough. Somebody is going to have to give up a lot, and not that it was easy, but it was easier for Pierce, Garnett, and Allen because they'd all three been at it a while, and none of them had won. Right. Durant's won twice. Irving's won once. Now, I know he wasn't the guy on that team, but he was won once, hit a huge shot. So Harden's the only one who hasn't even won a title, and he's led the league in scoring for three straight years. So is he's just going to give that up altogether?
And he's
Kevin
the guy.
Durant's led the league in scoring. Those two guys have been MVPs. Like, it's just,
you just
know.
Invested your future in Harden. You kind of got Kyrie and Durant in a more traditional fashion, NBA money, just sign and trade, whatever.
Although
right?
D'Angelo Russell was piece that they're going to regret losing at some point, I bet. But anyway.
But are you going to bring Harden in for what could be 7 first-round picks and then be like, you know what, you know, you're a role player here? Like, he is the newest.
And Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, who are both good players. You got rid of all that for Harden. So, yeah, you don't want him to take a back seat.
No.
Well, all you need to know, I guess, is that the story out of Houston is that the Rockets wanted no part of Kyrie Irving as part of this deal. No,
oh, that's smart.
Thank you. Yeah, no, we'll go with those other guys. We don't want him.
Yeah, their deal was still, I think, I don't know why they didn't hold out for Ben Simmons and try to do that, because at least you can sort of sell, here's an all-star player that we got in return. I know Victor Oladipo's made an all-star team, and he's not a bad player, but he's not the centerpiece of a team. In fact, he was part of the deal for Paul George when that happened, because you were like, he's good, and you can kind of say, like, hey, he's not a bum, and they got all those picks. Like, that's all they did. They just reset with a million draft picks, and that's what they're banking on. But they didn't really get that, you know, good player in return.
No, because it was Ben Simmons, it was Jaylen Brown, or it's, well, we have assets, and we have assets that could be
all
really good.
Picks.
If this blows up, we have assets, and in 2027, we'll have players that will then develop, and by 2030...
But they were already committed to it, so again, I think, and not just because they've won their first two games, I think it was the right call, because you didn't know if Kyrie was going to return. You didn't know. Now, I think he might play tomorrow,
but
you don't know if he's going to just leave again. Like, he's such a wild card, and so you can't rely on him. But you have Durant. You can't waste a season of prime Kevin Durant. So you're able to get James Harden. And so now you're all in, and you're another villain. And it's great for the NBA because it's another team now. If the Nets are on TV, you're going to stop and you're going to watch them.
A quick note from the National Hockey League as we go to the break here. The Dallas Stars still haven't played a game yet because of COVID. They had 17 positive COVID cases in the organization. Pierre LeBrun tweeted out moments ago, hearing the Carolina-Nashville game tonight is postponed. COVID situation with the Hurricanes. Get used to it. It's going to happen. These non-bubble sports, both basketball and hockey, were bubble sports. They were able to pull it off. Not bubbled anymore. You're going to see more and more of this.
Yeah, and I'm fine with it. I know, Rich, you've sort of had sham issues with the NBA, and then you're going down a road now. Like, I'm fine with whatever the season presents, figure out a way to get to the postseason, figure out, hopefully by then, with vaccines and everything in the summer, everything's calmed down, and you can have a semi-traditional, valuable postseason. Major League Baseball is going to be an issue at some point here when they get their act together and figure out exactly what they're going to do, but even with all of, like, high school and college, find a way. Like, I wasn't a huge, well, Ohio State's only played 6 games. Okay, good. I'm a football fan. I'm an Ohio State fan. I'd rather they play 6 than none. And that's the mentality I've taken all along. That's, I think, the mentality that the NHL and the NBA has to take. Just figure out a way to get as many games in as possible. Go to win percentage or whatever you need to do to create your playoff scenario. And hopefully at that point, you've kind of settled things down.
The New York Mets reportedly found out something about their new general manager last night. They did something about it by this morning. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Back in December of 2017, ESPN, from a baseball source, received these messages. We went to talk with the woman at the time, and she was still working in media then and was uncomfortable with the idea that if we publish these messages, it could potentially harm her career. It gets to, I think, the power dynamic that is at play here. Jared Porter was the director of pro scouting for the Chicago Cubs at the time of this incident, and he is in a position of authority. This was a woman from a foreign country.
That is ESPN's Jeff Passan. He and Mina Kimes posted a story late last night. The headline is, New York Mets GM Jared Porter acknowledges sending explicit images to female reporter when he worked for the Chicago Cubs. These text messages, some were photos, some were text messages, were reportedly sent in 2016. Passan said he and Mina Kimes received copies of these texts in 2017, but to their credit, and I mean this sincerely, they talked to the woman. She said, I think I'm going to be harmed by this professionally if you do this. And they didn't. And good for them for not doing it.
Right.
They continued to go back and talk to her as time went on. And ultimately, she said, all right, I'm kind of out of the media business at this point anyway, so go ahead. And they did. Published it last night. Didn't take long for the Mets to react. they fired Jared Porter this morning.
It's just crazy to me how these stories, this one obviously wasn't the first and it won't be the last. And you just see, like, what are you doing? Like, how are you, why and how do you think that is a good way of going about things? Like, if you, he apparently liked that reporter or wanted the reporter to like him. And next thing you know, it's just nonstop texts. And then obviously the pictures of your junk is another whole thing. But if you text a person twice and they don't respond, can you take a hint? Like, I, like, can, you, 60, you like, stop.
63 is not the right number?
63? I mean, I guess I don't know how people are even capable of that. Like, I don't understand how you don't take a message or take a hint, like, immediately. Yeah,
he tried to justify it by saying that it was a stock photo and it wasn't actually his.
Yeah, but
too.
I don't care about the photo.
That part, I'm just saying that all those text messages, like, if you send to somebody you don't even really know and you send them a couple of text messages and you're getting nothing back, it ain't it.
The normal person says, okay, that whatever, didn't work. She don't, no inter-. But to me, that's almost more crazy because the pick that that John called it earlier, we'll leave that word out. We know better.
Thanks, John.
We dumped the audio, Andy. You don't need to bring it up.
That was a lesson learned by our friend John.
That's a one-time mistake. The repetitive texting is like, you think it's a good idea? You press
There's something wrong upstairs.
Send. Like, you don't know how just normal human interactions work. Social.
Wow. Yeah.
Cues and whatever. Right. That is, it's weird. It's scary because, like, I understand how the sports world works. We've seen enough where they work weird hours, they work hard, they work long seasons. We've seen enough relationships develop between reporters and players or executives and reporters, executive, like, they're in a certain world and that happens. Okay, so, you know, would you like to get drinks? No. Hey, is this thing still on? Hey, you still not interested? Still interested? Like, stop.
Enough.
Just stop.
Yeah.
She said no.
You took your
he
shot.
Said no. By you the way, it doesn't just have to be a male-female thing. I don't care what the relationship is. Men, women, woman to man, anything.
Take a hit.
Don't
regardless.
Send a million texts in a row. Don't
well, apparently, just... according to the story, she responded initially, and you can sort of see... She's thinking, this guy's director of player personnel for the Cubs. You know, do I need this information source?
Yep.
It's how the world works. But she very quickly realized, no, this is way beyond. And then she stopped responding.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She didn't respond. Text after text. And he's saying, what are you, mad? And texting, what's wrong? And you know, at that point, to what you're saying, Rich, and Andy as well, at that point, he's got to realize, okay, this I took a shot here. It didn't work. Move on. And
Move
he
on.
Didn't.
And, you know, you say, what are you, mad? Well, that's something I might say to my wife or my girlfriend if I'm getting the silent treatment. Or if, you know, if we got a... You don't have a relationship
with
this
person. No,
there
is no relationship
so
there.
So when they ignore you, they're giving you the best hint they can possibly give you. Go away. We're
it's
done. We have nothing.
The nicest way possible to be like, we're done
so
with this.
So this guy was just clueless. Clueless.
Yeah, creep. At minimum.
He's, and then takes it to the next level, obviously, with photos, junk photos, and whether they're stock. I don't really care whether they're stock or not, by the way. Like, is it really?
Please, stock photos. What, so he's sitting there on Bing Images going through, like, yeah, this one represents
says Getty Images right on it.
I don't think
But does that even
that.
Matter?
They don't
like,
have
is
those
that
on
an
there.
Excuse?
No,
that's
no.
Even worse.
It's not my wee-wee. I searched
wee-wees. Stock images.
Yeah, like, you're full of crap, first of all, but it also doesn't matter. You sent an inappropriate photo, whether it's a photo of you or not, is sort of a minute detail.
Unless it's that one photo that was going around to everybody at the beginning of the pandemic. If it's that one, then we know that's a stock photo.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
When there, you would get, like, a link sent to you, and then you'd click the link, and it would be, like, a dude sitting on a bed. You never got that
one? Oh, that's made the rounds, like, five times in the last 5 years. There's always a different hook.
But I opened that in a lecture hall in college, and I was right at the front of the middle. Five minutes in, I opened my laptop, it pops up, I slam it shut, and I sat there, and I did not take a note the rest of the class.
That guy, he had a whole...
he died, by the way.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
How'd he go?
I don't know.
Got a couple
I'm
of
not
ideas.
Making a joke, Keith.
Loss of blood flow to the brain. I'm just saying, it's a possibility.
There's one option.
It's only so much blood in the body.
With Frank Gore.
May that man rest in peace, though. But yeah, he got another, like...
Tripped and died walking down the stairs.
So here's some interesting tidbits about Jared Porter, by the way.
Yes.
He was born in Minnesota, lived there until he was 15. His family moved to Duxbury. He went to Thayer Academy in Braintree. I said earlier, he went to Bowdoin College. He's cousins with Pittsburgh Penguins head coach Mike Sullivan.
Who?
He was previously married, I believe. I'm not positive of that, but I believe he was previously married because he was making a big point reaching out to this woman. Are you married? And you know, I'm not married. That sort of thing. This is not, to Rich's point, it is a dumb idea in any circumstance, at yes. any time, to send pictures like that, ever.
And he probably thought he got away with it, too. And you wonder, you know, how much has he continued to have the same behavior? Because this was 2016, you know, in this particular case. But it doesn't mean he's, you know, stopped doing yep. this and been a creep. I feel like people generally don't stop being a creep. I feel like it's kind of in you. And maybe
you could make an argument. Maybe he would, you know better now that it cost
maybe.
Him his dream job and right. his ascension
doubt
through the
it.
Baseball ranks. Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. But there's no doubt in my mind that in the last 4 years,
somebody
there has
else,
to be
multiple people, yeah.
other people.
So, I mean, so the Mets move on. It was interesting, though, to see Steve Cohen, their new owner, sort of say, hey, you know, zero tolerance and all this other stuff. And you're like,
yeah, plenty of skeletons in that closet.
Like I say, Cohen didn't do this, but there's other things that, you know, maybe people could slap his wrists about.
Oh, yeah, financial improprieties with right. the SAC Corp and
yeah.
a $1.8 billion settlement fine with the Securities and Exchange or whoever. You know, when you're fined $1.8 billion, doesn't that tell you did something bad? I mean,
I
this isn't like a $50 parking ticket. Or
nope.
You were fined $1.8 billion, and people went to jail. We shouldn't really joke about it because other yeah. people beneath him went to jail, but he made a lot of money out of a questionable culture and questionable integrity. Luckily, apparently, now that he has his $14 billion, he's turned a corner and he sees the world in a different light and he's Mr. Integrity.
And I don't know that that's true, but I will say this. He did the right thing here.
Yes.
He did the wrong thing there. He did the right thing here. His tweet this morning, and he did this himself. He didn't have some PR flack put it out there. He tweeted out this morning, "We have terminated Jared Porter this morning. In my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I meant it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. They found out about it, according to Cohen, when the rest of us did at 11 o'clock last night. By 9 o'clock this morning, he was gone."
Right, and it was the easy decision.
Yeah, 100% easy.
You're not firing Bill Belichick here, who has, you know, for 20 years led you to so much success. It's the guy's barely been on the job. You're a new team, a new organization. You have Sandy Alderson, who was brought in for this reason, to be sort of the clean guy who's going to set the tone and culture of the organization. I mean, I think this was the obvious move, the easy move. I would have been stunned if he hadn't done this as quickly. And to be fair, he also has been very active on Twitter. He's trying to engage the fan base. I don't know if he's trying to go down sort of the Mark Cuban man of the people owner where he has this yeah. direct connection to the fans, but Cohen has been on Twitter a lot.
No, but you're right. It is, in a way, an easy decision to make. And you remember we were talking months ago. Remember there was a certain hockey player that I forget who it even was, Dale, but remember he had like a long list, like just very aggressive texts and stuff and like just over the top and very sexist stuff. And I think they cut him and we were like, yeah, you cut him because he was like a fourth liner or like a third yep. D pair, and like it makes your franchise look better, and you can move on from it. And the same thing with the Mets, like you can move on from it. If it was your Cy Young Award winning, you know, pitcher, you're like, second chances, and we've, you know, he's sorry, right. he's sorry. Like I just feel like, again, we don't know. Maybe Steve Cohen would do that to the best player, or to, you know, if they have a great manager someday, maybe he would. I can't say that he wouldn't. I just feel like that's where you have a really tough decision, and it shouldn't, like, if this is your ethical decision, it shouldn't matter how good the person is at their job, but you know that it always factors in.
We're talking different ownership groups and different management groups, but the New York Mets franchise in a calendar year hired a manager who never managed a game and they fired him before spring training, and hired a general manager. He lasted 34 days on the job and they fired him as well.
Right.
That's
one for a baseball impropriety,
right.
cheating, and on field. Like,
which was so stupid, too. And I still think the league had something to do with that. I think the league was like, hey, Beltran's not going to get suspended, but it's sort of a weird area here where he was a player, so he's not going to get in trouble like Cora and Hinch are. But he was kind of like a de facto coach.
Right.
Those guys aren't going to be in the game. We kind of want you to do that. Maybe it was the Mets decision. I think it was Major League Baseball. But that's weird because a year later, Beltran, not managing a team, Cora and Hinch right back in there. Like, very weird.
Does Jared Porter get another job again?
Yeah, eventually.
Not anytime soon.
Yeah, and he'll have to work. It'll be you won't even know he really got the job when he's been on the job for 6 months.
He's some
lower
scout
level.
In the southeast portion of the country.
Yeah. And I'm not saying necessarily he shouldn't. Like, I'm a big believer that, you know, second chances, and maybe this is
people
the scared straight moment, and maybe he was just an idiot, and he got away with it for so long, and, you know, it snowballs. But, you know, there's a cooling off period, and you take a few steps down the rungs before you start to reascend.
Right. Yeah, he had this job for a month, so.
Right.
And, you know, he'd been in baseball for years and years and years.
Yeah.
He was with the Red Sox for like 12, 14 years or something, then with the Cubs, and he had everything. He had, you know, the baseball world was his oyster. He had his dream job, and now he's unemployed.
And I saw some criticism of the Mets for, you know, the idea that they should have vetted him better. You should have known this. I mean, how do you know this? Like,
yeah,
how do you find this information? I mean, there's basically he knows it, the woman knows it, and I guess ESPN to some degree knows it. But are you supposed to be, anytime you hire somebody, do you call ESPN and say, by the way, are you got any stories in the hopper on this person? Did they do anything wrong that we should not?
Well,
there's only so much you can do, right?
I will say the Cubs knew. Part of this story was a Cubs employee basically told Porter, listen, she doesn't want anything to do with you anymore. And he, oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. So the Cubs knew. If you're Steve Cohen or whatever management group was in charge of this, you had to have talked to the Red Sox. You had to have talked to the Cubs. Not that you'd say, hey, are there any sexual improprieties in this guy's or does
but if you're getting
simply,
like your letter of recommendations and it does, I don't know, it doesn't come up, I don't know if you should be completely...
I think it's hard to find stuff like this, and it's easy, you know, in the end to say hindsight, how did you not know about this? Especially if we're right. And there's more out there, and, you know, maybe there's another case. Like, now this clearly was a trend.
Right.
But I think it's just easier to say at this point in the process than it is when you are. I mean, how do guys get away with resumes that are just flat-out lies? Oh, that guy didn't go to that school. That
and then
guy
you find
wasn't
out
in
later
that
on,
war.
Like,
how did this get through? Well, because it falls through the cracks, unfortunately.
Yeah. Did you really call the college and pull the transcripts? Like, probably not.
Probably should.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom Brady moves on. A 14th conference championship game this weekend. We'll talk about Brady and the Bucks and the Patriots going forward. Kiefer Madness at the bottom of the hour. Dale and Keefe with Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.